How do you get that? Anyone not know how to get that? Okay, good. Yeah, it's just 1 point for every, you know, fifth of a second off the track record. That 81 now gets adjusted by 2. That PBS is an 83. Pretty overpowering in this field. In fact, this was the odds-on favorite in the race. Yes, Joe?
When you adjust, the first step, is a 2/5 off the second call.
Yeah, and
1/5 off
12/3, then you got.
Should be 1/12/3.
You got 1/12/4 and more.
Whoops, 12/3. Okay, sorry. Thank you.
8/4.
Make that. Yeah, 12/4. Thank you, Jim. Comes in 84. Fine.
I thought I had it wrong.
No. You had it right. I had it wrong. It's me. Caljar Mary, okay. Let's get on. Fire and Fury. Anyone want to give me the PBS number of Fire and Fury? 74. Yeah. 74 plus 1 minus 1. They shall not pass.
73.
Where did you get the 74? Okay. 74 Fire and Fury. Its speed rating is 74, yeah. Then he gets 1 point because he ran against a 47-1. That becomes a 75, but he ran 1/2 furlong less in that race, so it goes back down to a 74.
Are you using the last lines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you were out of the room for this. Just use the last. Yeah, use the last baseline. But why would you go anywhere else than Fire and Fury?
I got 6.5 for speed rating in my copy.
On Fire and Fury?
Fire and Fury.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. We're on fire. We skipped over Caljar Mary. Sorry, we just... That horse gets a 64. He's not a contender in this field. He hasn't picked up his legs. Actually, ever. This is a horse that the dogs start salivating when he comes out of the track.
Here comes dinner.
He'll be running in a dog track soon. They shall not pass. Anyone have a PBS number for They Shall Not Pass?
73.
Yeah, 73. That's exactly right. So, what's the alternative? If you go one back, he gets a worse PBS number, doesn't he? Because that would be a 67 plus 3, or a 70. And that's 3 points worse than 73. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, yeah, that second race back, were a faster rate, yes, I would give him the benefit of that doubt. Here's an interesting case now, Cherokee Baby. Answer me this question. How does Cherokee Baby usually run against a 47-2? How does he usually finish when he's facing a 47-2? Yeah. Now look at his race on June 28th. Aha! He finished 2 3/4 lengths back of the winner after facing a 46-4. Have you ever come close to that before or since? No. That's a horse that you might say does not meet the fulcrum of this race. He did it once, yeah, but he'll never do it again. Oh, go back to consider Caljar Mary in that context. Can this horse run well against a 47-2? Not in its present incarnation. Look at Mascara Miss. Same context. No, Sparky. No. That horse just doesn't do it. This is another way to use a fulcrum, just to give you an idea of where the horse's plus races come from. Let's go 3 back on the horse, huh? Because he's got 2 routes, and let's go to the 3rd back and give it a 71. But really, we're taking the one and only time this horse ever matched the fulcrum. That's a dangerous call. I call those horses own horses. One matchup. It's got one race where it matched up. They usually run as if they were meditating. So they're own horses. These little things help you remember them. Okay, Maria Domenica. Maria Domenica would earn a 79 from its last race. Right? 74, and you would adjust it by 5 whole fifths of a second. The problem with Maria Domenica is this. $3,000 plating horses do not come back after 7-month layoffs and run well in sprints. Period. That's just it. Now, if this horse had a habit of running well after a layoff, yeah, you consider it a contender. But I would take that 74 with a big, big, big grain of salt. Not with my money. Bow the match gets a 70. Very simple. 70 goes up one and comes down one. Azel B, our fulcrum horse, gets a 75. Let me show you something very interesting. The gentleman asked the question about would you take the last race off a slow track. Look at the second race back. What would a CBS number be off that one? Exactly the same thing. Its speed rating was 75. It goes up one because it ran against a 47-1. That would make it a 76. And it comes down one because it's 5.5 for one. So those last two races are exactly the same. Doctor's Flight from its last race gets a 62. And look at Stay Out of the Wind. Okay. Here's where we've got to do another one of those dipsy doodles. Let's say we're going to be bold and we go back to its third race back, its sprint. What PBS number does it earn off of July 4th race, the sprint? 71. Yeah, right. A 66 speed rating goes up 5 because it's running at that fast a pace. Let's do this little exercise that we did with Seymour Simone. That converts to a 47.3. We're talking about Stay Out of the Wind's last race, 113.4. And let's call it a half length back. That becomes a 114, which at Finger Lakes equals a 76. And it's adjusted down by one. So it would become a 75. So in that case, give the horse the benefit of the doubt. Let's just look at our PDF numbers for a minute. Let's see where this has gotten us. We have our 3-5 favorite, Seymour, at 85. The next highest, actually there's a tie with Azel B at 75 and Stay Out of the Wind at 75. Then we've got another little cluster. We've got Fire at 74. We've got Maria on a layoff with a 74, and who else? There's a 73 in here somewhere. Countess. 73. Usually they will cluster. Look, if Seymour runs back to that last race, he wins the race. But if he doesn't and he falters, one of the horses in this cluster should win. I'm sorry, 79. She's a layoff. Heck with her. You have to make an informed judgment about layoff horses. Consider them contenders or not. What are the keys? APV. Ability to do well off a layoff. This horse was 0-9 last year. I'm not going to bet that horse coming back to the same class level. 79 is that instead. Azel B, somehow, our fulcrum horse, paid $14.40 to win. Stay Out of the Wind paid $22 to place. The exacta was $606. Seymour finished third. This exacta paid over $2,000. Now, this doesn't always happen. This is the first time I've seen this race. If you want to see what CBS will do, try the other races in this manual. Try the Jazz Island race. Not now, I mean when you have some time. Also try the Monmouth race. The PBS numbers just will absolutely make the true contenders in the race jump off the page to you. There's one other adjustment that you need to make. When a horse comes from a significantly faster or slower track, you need to adjust that horse. How do you do that? There's a complicated way, there's a quick and dirty way. I recommend you do the quick and dirty way. Why? Don't spend too much time on this. Remember, before you turn on your computer, you've got to do ATVs, pluses and O's, ESTs, TVSs. It's a lot of work. So you want to cut this time down to a minimum. Here's what I suggest about making track-to-track adjustments. Compare the speed ratings of the tracks. Let's say you're at Saratoga. Or you're at Belmont. At Belmont, the track record for 6 furlongs is 107.4. If you've got a Calder horse coming, anyone know what the track record of Calder is? 110.1.
That's right.
So the difference between 110.1 and 107.4, that's 2 seconds and 2/5, which is 12/5 of a second. Give that Calder horse 12/5.
Finger length
is also very slow. It's 109.1. You'd have to, bump that horse up if you were at a faster track today. I wouldn't get any more complicated in making adjustments than that. So we'll have a brief question and answer on PBS, and I'll turn it back over to Howard. Yes?
How did you handle, during the winter, when the Meadowlands horses came to be in a dirt track? They got giant...
Yeah. Okay, the answer to that is sometimes the quick and dirty adjustment doesn't work, and you really got to go and average up the average second call and the average final time at your track and the track that the shippers are coming from. And if you play winter racing in New York, you've got to do this step. This quick and dirty adjustment won't work. And then you find, for example, the Meadowlands horses need to be brought down about 7/5 to make them equal with the Accurate horses. That's a good point.
And at the end of, right before they went to the inner dirt strip, the track had actually got 30, 32 variants.
Yeah, horribly slow.
You would just skip those days if you do PBS?
You either go past those and consider that those are different surfaces, or you keep your daily variant. And you do that. It's not worth the work. I mean, it's enough for you to know that and say, oh, these were slow tracks. I'm going to go back and get that third race back. That's enough.
Mark.
Yeah.
This was a little different than what you taught at Monmouth track side. At least it appeared to be.
Right. It's the same, the picture of the old lady and the young lady, yes.
Right. Is this a little bit more efficient than that one, or are they probably equal in efficiency?
They're exactly. I haven't changed this presentation in a year and a half. I do this in my sleep.
How you would, No, it's the same.
Howard will vouch for it, and it's true anyway.
To answer these like questions, like where the horses are coming off the moon dust and then they're coming back to the earth again, would you possibly consider doing the PBS with speed rating plus variant?
Yeah, we tried that for a while. Cut the variant in half and do that so it lessens the effect of that. Look, ladies and gentlemen, do not make a big thing of PBS. It's just to alert you. It's just like ATV. Remember that? What was it? Not the Kelco calculator. What was the other thing? Yeah, the Kelco, when they got a computer program to figure out ATVs, because they had the track structure, how many races came from this purse structure, they just need an ATV number, just like they just need a PBS number, just to point out horses like stay out of the wind that trigger enormous exotics. When you put this race through any of the programs, it will show you the correct order of finish. Energy just nails this race. Well, no, it doesn't really. It takes Seymour Simone and puts it as a world beater. But it gets the triple very, very clearly. Yeah.
I did the addition of the speed rating to the variant for 6 months because I couldn't get away from the idea of the eastern tracks having the variants in the winter.
What was your experience?
About 2% difference. Now, all of our other experimenters found out that using the variant it was even worse than that, like 20%.
That's how we started. One of Michael's contributions was eliminated.
Yeah. Now, let me say, the other reason we use PBS is for the form cycle analysis. You want to know, I mean, at least you should know that you're taking a horse that only met the matchup one time. If you wanted to use this Cherokee horse, with all apologies to Jim, that horse should be thrown out. It only meant the magic that one time. But if you want to take his pace line, at least you should know that, that you're making a very risky call. And the combination of the pluses and O's with the fulcrum will tell you that. This, by doing this procedure, ATB pluses and O's and PBS numbers, also your ESP, you are compressing just an unbelievable amount of work into a very, very clear and orderly methodological procedure. And if you do that, race after race after race, no matter if it tells you something or not, very often, look, if this horse weren't in the race and this is the PBS numbers, what does it tell you? Not very much. I picked this race because it was method. Do the other two races in your manual. There are two horses that are so head and shoulders over the rest of the field, and they run first and second in the race. But, you know, it doesn't do anything to show you those races. It looks just like, you know, cherry picking and showing off. Very often you'll find races like that. They're very simple. Yeah, in the back. He's left.
The bottom line is this son of a gun works, even though I don't know how it works, but it sure works. It doesn't have any logic to it. It just works.
You know, the old story about the rats.
Hold it.
Let me tell you something. You know, we'll do it in 3 minutes.
Oh, three?
They used to train, you know, when they train rats, it's like, let's take six tubes and put the cheese at the end of the fourth tube, and the rat will go through the first tube and the second tube, and then it'll come down to the fourth tube and find the cheese. And the rat would do this a few hundred times, go all four tubes. Since rats are pretty smart, after a while, they skip the first three tubes, go right down the fourth tube. Clever rat. They do that a few hundred more times, and then the experimenter, the scientist, hopefully, would take the cheese and move it to the sixth tube. Guess what the rat would do? Run down the fourth tube and didn't find anything, it would come out. Run down the fourth tube, didn't find anything, it would come out. Keep doing that for a while. Now, the difference between the average horse player and the average rat is that eventually the rat stops going down that fourth tube. But since the average horse player is more interested in using the right technique, the very precise technique, instead of what works, keeps you going down that old, you know, well, I believe this is right, I believe this is spinal time, it should work. Now, after a while, you get tired of making that journey. And so what we're presenting to you is stuff that, you know, quite frankly, is not very elegant from a theoretical point of view. Its elegance lies in the fact that it works. Now, you got a choice. You can either be right about your selections, or you can make money on them. And if your goal is to be right about the races, to be an expert, great. You can write a hardcover book. Just kidding.
Well, he doesn't mean that book. He means some of the other ones.
Yeah. I did not include Tom in that. If your goal is to make money, then what you do is find what works, and use that. And then when the Paul Mellises of the world comes and looks at my form, he says, come on, did you have that $600 after Paul? I don't think so. Okay, so if there are no more questions, great, thanks.
Marvelous. Those of you who take the follow-up, and even those who don't, should get one this time, because Michael has written probably one of the most erudite and brilliant four pages that you will ever read involving handicapping and many other things. We are so proud of you, Michael, for that. You got to read it. It's really great. It's really tremendous. I almost get tears reading it. It's beautifully done. Now, no, I'm serious. Let's take a little break here, and then we got a little entertainment in line for you now. Jimmy's going to talk. And just talking, Jimmy creates laughter, but he's going to talk about something really funny. Please, God. It's up to Michael. Vinny, we got a little trick. Sit down. I want to show you a little trick here. No, it's a little something. It's a little something I think would appeal to you, Vinny. No, you're going to do it. Yes, you're going to do it. He says you taught him this, Vinny. I'm going to check it out. Everybody in from the hallway?
Sure. Yo. Hey, Michael.
Bring in everybody, because Michael's got a little something he's going to perform before Jimmy. We've got to have Michael's shirts.
He's in the bedroom. Vamp.
Vamp. Anybody still confused about some of those problems you presented to us last night that we wrote down and tried to handle throughout the day? Anybody? Has any of those problems not been answered yet? Speak up, because we'll take care of them before we're through tomorrow. You got all those seven factors you said you needed to understand to win. Tell Brohammer to come for this one, too. He's got to see this.